I'm here with my friend Glenn Tickle.
I'm here with my friend John Lunger. An illness. Not feeling true. Great, bud.
Sorry. But regardless of illness, we are rewriting the entirety of Wikipedia off the top of our heads, one page at a time, in easy and convenient to listen to podcast form. Oh boy, you look worse for the wear, Glenn. You don't look good.
I mean, I feel like just the angle I have my phone at is over dramatizing a bit, but like, I don't know. I don't feel awesome today, so I'm just laying in bed. And I thought, maybe I'll like put myself together and sit up nice for the Zoom call. And then I didn't. So I'm at like a 35 degree angle, kind of across the narrow side of my bed. Feet, just like the bottom half of my legs below, just sticking straight off. Not a particularly comfortable position, but I just don't have it within me to move. So
when you got a pillow sticking out of your back, you look like a stegosaurus.
Yeah, that was on my head before. Like, you know how sometimes you lay your head on one pillow and then you put your head underneath another pillow and then
and try to like smother yourself and make the pain go away?
You just try to end it all. Mm. You make your head like a little pillow hamburger.
Yeah. I'm sorry you're not feeling good, because I think I'm going to make things worse, Glenn.
Yeah.
I invited a guest for this episode.
Oh, I know, baby.
And it's your nemesis, Ben Youngerman.
Yeah, I know. Literally, like, this is not a bit. 5 minutes after you told me that Ben was coming on the show, I threw up violently, and then I've been in bed ever since.
Well, let's introduce him. Why don't I give you the opportunity to introduce him, since he is your nemesis?
Our guest today is just a real piece of trash. He's an improviser. He never developed a personality, so he's just sort of assembled a collection of affectations to hide that fact. He likes sports a lot. He's 3'8", Ben Youngerman.
Boo! I'm so happy you feel like crap, Glenn.
Yeah, I bet this is a real treat for you.
It is. 1 minute before John told you that I was coming on the podcast, I texted your wife and had her put poison in your drink.
All right.
Oh, my God. There's already so many flavors going on in Diet Dr. Pepper. I don't know that you would notice the addition of poison.
Man, I can't find that Diet Dr. Pepper and cream soda. I found the regular kind. It's just too sugary.
Sorry, bud. Well,
my goal in life is to become so rich that I can buy the Dr. Pepper bottling company and then destroy the Dr. Pepper bottling company. End it for good and take the secret recipe to my grave.
So raisins, isn't that like the primary thing that it's made of? Like, that's the main flavor?
I don't know. I don't own the company yet.
Yeah.
I think it is. So I think they tout the 23 flavors thing to hide the fact that it's like, you can't market raisin soda. Nobody wants that shit.
No. Well, there is an off chance that there are some people listening to this episode that don't know why you two are each other's nemesis. So do you want to just get that out of the way? Like, why are you so mean to each other?
Because Ben sucks. It's really because years ago I realized my life was too good and there was no forces working against me. Mm-hmm. And I was watching.
So that was before 2020, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, this was well before 2016. And so I basically asked Ben to be my nemesis because he looks like a cartoon supervillain.
Yeah,
like, he looks like Snidely Whiplash's little cousin who, like, really looks up to Snidely and, like, wants to be taken seriously as a peer but never will.
Wait, so you're saying, Ben, I think Glenn is saying that you're the Scrappy-Doo to Scooby-Doo for Snidely Whiplash.
You're the Scrappy-Doo of bad guys.
Well, I only accepted being your nemesis because I thought like you looked like a Make-A-Wish kid and I couldn't turn you down. So,
I mean, my appearance is not great at this moment. I'll give you that. Also, I realized today my hair and beard are at the point where I either have to trim them or like commit to them being longer. And I think I might just lean into giving up.
Do it. That's what I did. Give like, really up. Like really
skillful younger men.
Give up on life.
Well,
you save like $40. You save like, I don't know where you go to get your haircut. Probably the dollar store. So that'll save you $1. But it saves me like a good $40 every.
Who would cut your hair at the dollar store?
Well, I mean, honestly, my experience with dollar stores is you could probably find someone to cut your hair at a dollar store.
Yeah, I guess if you were there and you just said, hey, do me a solid.
Yep.
Slice this hair spaghetti.
Yeah, it's called Family Dollar. Everyone is family there. I thought that was funnier than you guys did. That's okay. The hey, dollar, Ben.
Buy some scissors, give them to a stranger. Yeah. If a stranger came up to me in the dollar store and said, hey, give me a haircut with these. I wouldn't turn that down. That's a story.
Yeah, I would probably not, because then the story is, well, I have lice now.
All right, enough chit-chat, boys. Let's get down to business.
You look like the guy who would, like, prank local news things, and, like, he's too energetic and talks really fast. He's on TikTok now, but he would do, like, fake bits when local news would come and cover, like, a fire at an Arby's or whatever in his town. That's what you look like right now.
You're going to be able to like
ditty Matt Berry. Like if Matt Berry wasn't incredibly handsome and charming. And if like, let's say if Matt Berry put on, instead of like his, what we do in the shadows makeup where he's mm-hmm. just kind of a handsome, sexy vampire. If he put on Buffy the Vampire Slayer vampire makeup, but then also a dumb mustache and beard, that's what you look like. Because it's an audio medium, John, and I'm trying to paint a picture for the audience.
No, I got that. Are you going to be able to focus enough for us to actually do a page? That's what I was
going
to ask.
I think this is making him feel better, at least, going into...
A little tired, I'm dehydrated. Let's see how it goes.
Well, fucking...
It does look like that pillow is like a wing.
Just so. Get a glass of water, Glenn. That's a very easy thing to solve.
Nah.
I'll right, text well, your wife and tell her to put an extra poison.
I don't have bed water, John. Jeez.
All right, Ben, as our guest, it is your pleasure to name the Wikipedia page that we will be tackling today. So what yes. is our subject?
I thought about this all day, honestly. I couldn't think of one, but I just came back from a record store, so that's on my mind. And I have one of the super old ones in the corner of my dining room. So I would like to go with phonograph today. Phonograph.
You have a phonograph in your living room?
Yes. It's like in this big box-like thing. And then it has a big wooden lid on top. And it's a literal, like, one of those fucking cranky ones. Like, not upset. Like a child cranky, but like it has a crank.
You like turn it? Doesn't turn isn't it. That literally like a set piece in the bad guy from Mystery Men? Like when Greg Kinnear flies in to stop him, he's like fucking with a phonograph.
Honestly, there's what, like a million different podcasts out there in the world at any given moment, right? I can honestly say it's the first time anyone has referenced fucking Mystery Men.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. I also have spoons and forks and knives so I can be the Hank Azaria character.
The Blue Rod.
Yeah.
Okay, so phonograph is that's very doable. What a wonderful suggestion. Thank you, Ben. Follow-up question. I'm starting to think that you might be a time traveler. It would explain a lot of things. mm-hmm. It would explain owning said phonograph, your handlebar mustache.
It would explain my 19th century beard going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Would explain why you don't have any friends in this time period.
What is this technology we're on?
Yeah, thanks for putting on Do Not Disturb, Glenn. That was
that
was some good color for the podcast.
What was that noise? I don't recognize it.
My laptop is good. I don't know why it insisted on letting me know that I got an email.
All right, phonograph.
So your big comb with a needle and a diaphragm.
Hard stop. That's paragraph one. I don't know how much more work there is to do. No.
Idiot, we're done now. All done. That's it. That's what it is.
Invented when, Glenn? And by whom?
There's people who think it was invented in Jesus' time.
Wait, what? Oh, because of like cylinders they found in the pyramids or some shit?
Yeah, there's some ancient alien bullshit where people are like, oh, well, like if you're spinning a potter's wheel and there's like a piece of straw sticking into it, and then people are loud near, but it'll shake the straw and it'll like etch the sound pattern into the clay like a record. But it won't do that. It'll just kind of make a, man, when was it though? Edison?
Yeah.
Like really, I mean, he did what he did. He didn't invent shit.
No, he took credit for
took an idea and things. Like industrialized it. Mm-hmm. So like,
well, let's let our guest chime in here. Ben, when was Thomas Edison alive?
I know that.
I think like the 40s.
No, you
or don't. Before that, the 20s, 10s, 10s, 20s, 30s, 40s.
He was 1800s. Born in the late 19th century.
Yeah, like he was born in the late 19th century, so like invention of this.
Who do we think?
Do you think like before or after the light bulb?
Before. I don't know why I said it with such disdain.
Before. You think he wasted his time? Or like not wasted, it's a great invention, but like you think he was like, making fire permanent versus like making noise into a
piece before. Wait, Edison hold up, stop it. No, wait, everybody shut the fuck up. Ben, you think the light bulb is the equivalent of quote making fire permanent?
Yeah, like I don't know. What in the
you're
before they had light bulbs, what would you call like electricity?
Well, I mean, like, I don't know that I call it making fire permanent.
No, they were like, yo, this candle over here, how do we make this like permanent so we don't have to like replace it as much?
Well, light bulbs weren't permanent. That was Edison's whole
light bulbs still, it's important to me you guys know that light bulbs still are not permanent.
LEDs not, are pretty long lasting.
Yeah, not permanent though.
I know.
They're working on it. They're working on it.
Light bulbs were complete garbage until Edison fixed that shit. Like, remember, he sucks. Yeah. He's a bad dude and I hate his stupid face. But that motherfucker
He really fingered electricity. He really got all up in there with his fingers.
That motherfucker figured out tungsten's the way to go, filament wise, and that's why light bulbs went from being like a fun novelty to like a useful thing.
Which is great if we're doing the light bulb page.
Who is like a famous history person you can picture fucking slapping a record on a Victrola?
P.T. Barnum.
Yeah, that motherfucker loved those cylinders.
He would crank that shit hard.
Hell yeah, that nasty boy. Was he a bad dude? Probably, just because of history.
He was like, he's like, you know what's great? Enslaving animals.
Oh, also that, a person.
Taking them on the road to show them to people.
Like, well past when you were supposed to be able to do that. There was a lady that toured with him that he said was like the world's oldest lady, and she was George Washington's nanny. She wasn't, obviously, because time is linear, but he did say that.
Oh, Glenn, time is a flat circle, bud.
No, records are flat circles, and you put them on the Victrola, daddy. Phonograph.
Like Albert Einstein putting on like a record would be pretty cool.
Yeah, he probably did, but like Austrian orchestral stuff probably.
So I just want to point out, when I go to read the actual Wikipedia page, one thing that we'll have up on that actual Wikipedia page is our page boasts the fact that Albert Einstein probably put a record on a record player one time.
Yeah.
So that's a.
You don't think he puts the music on while he's working?
No, I definitely do. I'm just saying that is a feature of our Wikipedia entry for phonograph.
Since you outed me as a time traveler, I actually was the one that went back in time and gave him the record to listen to that one time.
See, that's gonna fuck everything up though, Ben. Because if you take something back in time,
right now Albert Einstein knows about ghosts.
Yeah, if you take stuff back in time, it no longer has a time of origin. It just always exists. So we can't pin down a moment when the phonograph was invented now. Thanks for nothing, Ben.
You're welcome.
It was invented in the second half of the 19th century.
All right, so you're going to just narrow it down to a 50-year span? That's what we're going to go with?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't want to wheel it into 25?
No.
I'm going to put it in the post-Cretaceous time period.
Good. That's very helpful.
Yeah, that's good. It's factually accurate.
So how does it work there, JB? The B not standing for longer, of course, standing for boy. Johnny boy. JB.
Well, actually, this is a good question. I've always been a little bewildered by how it actually works. And I was hoping that my science friend Glenn Tickle actually knew the answer to this.
I do, but I thought I would ask you because then you could give like a fun one.
So I understand the concept of a needle passes over grooves and that somehow makes music. But like beyond that, like objectively, just looking at it, it doesn't make sense to me. Like it shouldn't work. Like
how do you put sound in a vinyl or whatever the original, you know, record things were made out of?
More importantly, how are they like, you know what I'm gonna do? You know, like that is truly amazing to me. All jokes aside, it is one of those things where I'm like, I have no idea how we figured it out.
So I'm almost more amazed by that than digital music. Also, like, how do ones and zeros become music? And how does, like, a needle on a groove make music? Like, both
guys,
of those things don't make sense to me.
Guys, are we high?
We might be.
So it works. So the phonograph works. It might have, like, a motorized turntable, but the it's purely mechanical. So, like, that's why it's got that big cone, like the RCA, his master's voice thing, like, that is to amplify. So there's like it's sort of like your ear, the bottom of that big ass cone, there's a diaphragm that, when the needle moves on the grooves on the record, shakes the diaphragm, similar to like a speaker now would do like with magnets. But to record the sound, it's the opposite machine. It's you're yelling into that big ass cone, and that's moving the needle as it's going around a blank, either like a wax cylinder or a disc, depending on what you're recording onto. And that shakes the needle, and it like carves those grooves as it goes along. And then when you play it back, shakes the diaphragm and makes the sound instead of recording the sound.
Little anticlimactic, actually. So, like, literally the answer was, oh, just reverse it.
Well, you could do it. Like,
Yeah, I can now.
But still,
Before, like, when we could be places and around, like, strangers, I would do, like, science presentations for children. And one of them is on sound. And one of the things that they build is like a little phonograph, like a little cardboard cone. And we have this little plastic strip and you run your nail along it and then it shakes the strip and then it plays it from the cone. and I've never been able to figure out what it's supposed to say. Because they didn't tell us, but it definitely makes a sound, and it sounds like it's supposed to be words, but it's so low fidelity, you can't understand it.
Well, I mean, I feel like if anything came out of this episode, I learned just a little bit, and that's really all I can hope for in 2020. But you did say something that I do know about when you just kind of referenced it as everybody knows about it. I don't know that everybody does know about it. The RCA, His Master's Voice ad campaign. Yeah. So it was a picture of a dog looking up at a phonograph, and the whole concept was, the dog can recognize this recording as coming from his master. And that was meant to really kind of, that was their first analogy for sound quality in the advertising of the phonograph.
Yeah. They're like, this stupid ass dog.
Yeah, fuck this dog. We're going to fool him.
Master is trapped inside this big ass horn and he's trying to figure out how he's going to get in there, but he tilts his head to the side a little bit.
Did that dog die moments after that photo?
It's dead for sure by now.
Yeah, I mean, we narrowed it down to a 50-year window.
I said moments after, though. Like,
dove into a phonograph?
Yeah, dove into the thing trying to save its owner. Billy stuck in a well.
Wait, hold on. You think a dog diving into a cone on a phonograph would be the end of the dog?
If it got stuck and suffocated.
No, there's not a meat grinder at the end of a phonograph. There's a diaphragm.
Yeah, but it's stuck in there.
Is there's a garbage disposal down at the bottom of the horn, so you don't want to reach your hand or be a dog and go into it.
Or be wearing a scarf like that Orphan Black episode where one of the clones dies.
Sure, I definitely saw that.
Yep. And,
exactly.
All right, well, we have sufficiently procrastinated and not done our job long enough, so we need to get to that rapid fire.
Job. I explained to you exactly how phonographs work.
I'm just saying we have to rapid fire any last things we want before we step aside because we're running out of time.
First recording. This one I don't actually know.
I think I know the wax cylinder was like just some dude talking. But
do you know that because you were there?
I was. Yeah, I was the dude on the recording.
Okay. What's your real name?
I know a lot of like dumb science first. I feel like I should know this.
I think it's his. I think it's just Edison's voice. I think I remember hearing that along the way. But it could have been his farts. I don't know if it's his farts or his voice. That would have been a great thing to do. It's just the first thing ever recorded is a fart.
Yeah.
The first fart joke would have been the best.
Man, the phonograph, I think it's gotta predate that motherfucker. I think the wax cylinders and like he made it easier and more accessible.
So you're positing that this is one of those, Henry Ford gets credited for the assembly line, but he didn't really actually invent that. He just made it into what it is. Like, he made it more efficient and actually applied it. Yeah. He was, Edison was like the Shark Tank of the day where he would steal other people's ideas and make them work better.
Yeah, but he's like the Kevin, so he's like shitty.
Okay. I don't know which one Kevin is. I've only...
He's the shitty one.
I can't watch all... Shark Tank has too many commercials.
And it's a show that is essentially commercials.
Yeah. All right, well, let's take a break. Let's step aside. We got to pay some bills.
I'm worried now that it was Edison.
Well, we're going to find out in a minute. When we come back, I'm going to read the official Wikipedia entry for Phonograph. That's a time traveler.
Fun sucks.
Hi, friends. John Munger from the Improvised Wikipedia podcast here with Glenn Tickle.
Also, hey, me is here.
Yeah, I introduced.
I know. I was agreeing.
Oh, I'm just not used confirming. To that. I'm not used
if
to you.
If I just sat here silently, people would think you're lying.
Yeah, that's true. Do you want me to handle it this week? I know you're not feeling so hot.
Yeah, unless you want this episode to be sponsored by Weird Burps.
Well, it's so funny that you bring that up, because I've got our ad spreadsheet here, and we famously have the most affordable rate in all of podcasting, $8 for a commercial spot. So we are booked out well in advance, but you can find us on social media and buy a spot if you want for yourself. But this week on the spreadsheet, you know who actually paid us?
Was it Burps?
It was the Coalition for Weird Burps, yeah.
Because we do also famously only allow sponsors that we both use and believe in. And right now I'm really using and believing the hell out of some Weird Burps.
And I am a card carrying member of the Coalition for Weird Burps. I have a monthly direct deposit.
Is it like a cheese of the month club where like you open a new jar every month and it's got a weird burp inside?
Yep. I receive a Mason jar from another member of the Coalition. Yeah, it's all made by other members. Farm to
table burps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm actually I have an uncle who is R&D for the Coalition on Weird Burps.
Oh, hey everyone, Ben's here. He just walked into our ad read. Hey Ben.
Oh hey, sorry.
No, it's just all good. You overheard and got excited. That's cool.
Yeah, I did. I heard that. So yeah, he's an R&D. They're coming out with new product called Butt Burps. It's a whole new line.
So does he know
that farts are a thing though already?
What was that?
Does he know that farts are a thing?
He's just trying to, you know, be Edison and steal shit.
Is it like when PETA tried to name fish ocean kitties or whatever so people would stop eating them?
Yeah. It's also when the WWF.
Like a rebrand.
WWF.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your uncle's name?
Steve.
Where's he live?
He lives in the place where the Council of Weird Burps lives.
So you don't know where your uncle lives?
Well, no, they're obviously in an undisclosed location because they don't want people to know
where
the R&D is. Yeah, it's like
Manhattan Project shit. All right.
Yeah, what's he look like?
Like me, like
yeah, a little bit like Ben. That's how uncles work.
Yeah.
No, I don't look anything like my uncles. I look like my father. Use promo code ImprovWikipard at... Oh, boy.
I look like a little bit like my Uncle Joey.
I'm not even going to say the end of this. This is the worst ad read we've ever done.
Weird burps!
Butt burps coming 2022.
All right, we are back. I have in front of me the official Wikipedia page for the phonograph. Where do we start? Well, we start that, just so you guys know, turntable also, redirects here, gramophone and record player also redirect here.
They all direct there?
So phonograph is the main page.
Phonograph is the main page.
Okay.
A phonograph in its later forms, also called a gramophone, trademarked since 1887 as a generic name in the UK. Yeah, or since the 1940s, called a record player, is a device for the mechanical recording and reproduction of sound. The sound vibration waveforms are recorded as a corresponding physical deviation of a spiral groove engraved, etched, incised, or impressed into the surface of a rotating cylinder or disc, called a record. To recreate the sound, the surface is similarly rotated while a playback stylus traces the groove and is therefore vibrated by it, very faintly reproducing the recorded sound. In an early acoustic phonographs, the stylus vibrated a diaphragm, which produced the sound waves which were coupled to the open air through a flaring horn or directly to the listener's ears through stethoscope-type earphones. That's the opening paragraph.
Yeah, that's exactly what I motherfucking said.
Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, I think the only thing that you missed, Glenn, if I'm being honest, is you didn't say the word stylus.
I said needle.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Ben goes to like his old timey bullshit record store and be like, guys, I need a new stylus. He's going to get the same item as if he says, I need a new needle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, assuming Ben shops at places where people are like him, they'll like roll at their eyes when he asks for a needle and not a stylus, because like they know what it's really called. But it is a needle. I could.
Well, if you go to like a large department store, like a Target, and you'll be like, I need a needle, and they send you to like sewing needles rather than the record.
Yeah, but you say I need a needle for my gramophone, they're gonna say, listen, you old timey time traveler, you get the fuck out of here. This is 2020.
They sell record players at Target.
I know. But if you call it a gramophone, they're gonna kick you out for being an asshole. If you say I need a needle for my record player, they'd be like, it's back by electronics between the computer shit and books.
If I'm being honest, I tuned out all of that argument because I got stuck on Ben describing Target as a department store, even though objectively that's what it is. I've just never heard it referred to as a department store before.
Scott's apartment.
I'm old timey. That's what we called it.
Yeah. All right. Second paragraph is an important paragraph. Glenn, I'm sorry, bud. Phonograph. The phonograph was invented in 1877 by Thomas Edison.
Thomas Edison will suck my ass. But what half of the 19th century is 1877, motherfucker? Is it the second half, the late half? Nailed it, daddy.
Yeah, real good job narrowing it down. Alexander Graham Bell's Volta Laboratory made several improvements in the 1880s and introduced the gramophone, including the use of wax-coated cardboard cylinders and a cutting stylus that moved from side to side in a zigzag groove around the record. In the 1890s, Emil Berliner initiated the transition from phonograph cylinders to flat discs with a spiral groove running from the periphery to the near center, coining the term gramophone for disc record players, which is predominantly used in many language. Later improvements throughout the years included modifications to the turntable and its drive system, the stylus or needle.
But stylus is first. Stylus or needle.
Or needle.
Ben, get on board here, bud. We're all on the same team. I know you guys are rivals or nemesis.
Yeah, it's just instinctual. I'm sorry.
This is visited by one of our sponsors.
The disc.
I don't know if it picked up, but I did a big weird burp just now.
The disc phonograph record was the dominant audio recording format throughout most of the 20th century. In the 1980s, phonograph use of a standard record player declined sharply due to the rise of the cassette tape, compact disc, and other digital recording formats. However, records are still a favorite format for some audiophiles, DJs, and turntablists, particularly hip-hop and electronic music, and have undergone a revival since the 1990s. The original recordings of musicians, which may be recorded on tape or digital methods, are sometimes reissued on vinyl. End of opening section.
Yeah, I got Harvey Danger's Where Have All the Merrymakers Gone on vinyl.
Somebody's got to.
It's me. I ordered a vinyl record as a present for my lovely wife that was supposed to be here last month, and it's not been here yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to worry if it's not coming.
I'm a nerd, and I created a spreadsheet for all of my records so I don't accidentally buy one that I already had before, because I never remember which ones I have.
Cool.
I got a bunch from my grandparents. We took some from my in-laws when we bought a record player because they didn't have one. They're like, you can just have these. And then we've bought, like, some stuff gets re-released or like new music that we want will come out on vinyl. It's like, I don't care whether I listen to something on vinyl or not, but if it's a band that I like and you want to support them, it feels like a good way to do that is like buy a physical thing from them instead of just like downloading the album or whatever. Cool, it's unanimous. I'm correct. That's a good way to help people, you dumb motherfuckers.
I did find
go eat Thomas Edison's nuts.
So I did find some interesting things on this page that I wanted to tell you guys about. And Glenn, this might make you happy. In the in the history section, in predecessors to the phonograph, several inventors devised machines to record sound prior to Thomas Edison's phonograph. But Edison was the first to invent a device that could both record and reproduce sound. So in a way,
he didn't invent that shit. He just invented the one that did both.
Yeah. So like, it's not. It's sort of on brand for him. And you were right. Ish.
Piece of shit, Tommy. You done Tesla dirty.
You okay, bud? You look like you're about to fall out of this bed. And it's honestly so distracting. I stopped caring about Wikipedia, and I'm just worried about you now.
Yeah, I don't know what's the wall and what's the ceiling. It's just like, what's the floor? Time and dimensions don't exist wherever the fuck you're at right now.
I'm just going to keep spinning around getting weird with it.
Oh, my God. Weird this is it. Like, it's like Blair Witch, but only Ben and I will get to see how bad it is. It's a very long page, and if I'm being honest, which I feel like I should be, there's some really interesting stuff on here, and if I actually cared to learn about how this stuff worked beyond what Glenn told me, this would be super interesting. This page is great. I will always give credit where credit is due. Like, we've seen a lot of shit Wikipedia pages over the years doing this. This is one of the good ones. It is very thorough. It is well annotated. It's got a lot of great external links. Like, this is a really good page.
What has been the best page so far that you've had?
Wow.
Zippers. Man.
Yeah, the zipper page has a really satisfying animated GIF. And even though
we released that episode,
even though we lost the file, it was the best one we ever did.
Probably not the best episode, but like just
No, I don't care about like your podcast.
Oh, thanks for coming on it, dickhead.
That came out wrong, but also I kind of meant
Wikipedia page.
But yeah, just from the pages. Standpoint. So someone put like that much time and effort into a zipper Wikipedia page?
I don't know if there was a lot, but just in terms of like enjoyment we got out of looking at a Wikipedia page.
Yeah, Whitcomb L. Judson invented the zipper. Best name ever. Well, that's it. Ben, as our guest, you technically get to decide whether or not we did a better job than Wikipedia. So I don't know. What do you think?
I think we did a pretty darn good job. I'd say yes. Just so Glenn can feel good about himself. Because I think he's imploding in front of our eyes.
Yeah, this is the last episode of Improvised Wikipedia because Glenn Tickle's having a fucking meltdown right now. He just showed his eyeball to it. Like, he stuck the camera on his phone, like real, like almost like it was a contact lens while it was still recording into his eyeball.
I'm wearing a red Phillies hat and he is becoming that color. Like, and I don't know what happened.
God, Glenn, do you remember when you were a professional comedian? Jesus Christ. Pull it together.
In the before times?
In the before times.
I was just a professional hot fucking mess.
Yeah. That's all I do. I thought it'd be really funny if I put the lens real close to my eyeball. And the thing is, it was, and I saw it because it was real close to my face. I shouldn't have looked. I should have, like, covered the screen and then did it.
What if that's the way you get COVID, is by trying to show us your eyeball and you fucking fingered your eyeball with COVID?
Rubbing my nasty phone on my eye.
He died doing what he loves.
Yeah. Sound like stupid and then cry laughing at yourself about it.
Well, that's it. Ben, thank you so much for doing this. Do you got anything you want to plug?
What do I have coming? I have nothing coming up.
Yeah, that tracks.
Go to nothing.
Tell them Ben sent you.
I have some shows, but I don't know when they are.
Do you really?
Yeah. I'm on Valley Weird Squares, which is this Saturday. I don't know when your podcast will air.
Yeah,
this will be Tuesday.
Yeah.
So after that.
Woo! Yeah. So you will have missed the show.
Okay. I'm sure it was great.
Despite you. I'm also doing a Tim Burton movie talk, which is tomorrow night. So that
Tim Burton is the Ben Youngerman of directors.
He is. He's a time traveler?
No, I don't like him.
And I might be teaching some collegiate mascots improv on a Zoom call at some point. So hack into that Zoom call and learn some improv for free.
Well, that's a lot more than nothing.
Yeah.
What about you? You got anything, Johnny?
Yeah, I mean, check out Escape the Podcast. It's a real fun thing I'm doing with Addison Teal, Jaya Peck, and Justin Passano. If you like Mystery Science Theater 3000, but like not the movie parts, the part where there's a mad scientist and they're doing wacky stuff, I think you'll dig it. Escapethepod.net.
Hell yeah.
What about you, Glenn?
Nope, nothing. Every show that I had scheduled either got canceled or has happened already. And I'm going camping tomorrow. So go camping. And also go vote, not for Republicans, though.
I think that's the only thing Glenn and I agree on. Yeah, go vote.
Not for Republicans, though.